I saw something, I don't know where I saw it now, I don't know if it was on TV or something, but it said December is the month of lions. L-I-N-E-S. Not lions like gonna bite you, but lions. Is that true?
Yes.
You ever go in a store, you ever stand in line?
Yeah, but only two registers
over there. That's right.
Stop going to Walmart.
It is the month of lions. Because we stand in line for everything. And it's amazing that everybody somehow or another loses their patience in the month of December. Have you noticed that? It's supposed to be the happiest time of year, and for some people, they get so angry, they get so mad. The other side of Christmas, from a church standpoint of view, which we will talk about next Saturday night, is about the miracle birth of Jesus, the virgin birth of Jesus. The most important part of Christmas is, say it with me, Jesus. Say it with me again, Jesus. That's right. Who's in line to see Jesus? What's Christmas all about?
Jesus.
That's right. Should be, but it's not. The other side of Christmas, it's about a teenage girl whom God picked to bring the Savior of the world into our world. Very humble. Very humble beginnings from a child who came from everything and humbled himself so that you and I could be saved. Beautiful young lady by the name of Mary. Angel comes to see her. How scared can she be? And then we've got Joseph, who is not a whole lot told about Joseph. Joseph, actually, you don't really ever see him speak in the Bible. But God speaks to him four times in dreams. And he responds to those dreams. Had every right to take Mary and put her away, which is what he was going to do. Now, he could have really had the lady stoned. Remember, in this day, men run the world. I mean, he could have took her out and made a public spectacle of her and had her killed. No, because God chose a man by the name of Joseph who didn't have that kind of heart. But he knew he had no choice but to basically divorce her. God comes to him in a dream. Says, no, it's not what you want to do. Here's what you want to do. I'm going to go and take this lady, marry her, bring her into your home, because that child that's inside of her is the Son of God. Now, I know we've got children in here, so I'll make this a sort of the best way I can. But here's the kind of man this man was. When they got married, they didn't have relations. Now come on, men. Huh? Can you believe that? That's what the Bible says. This was the kind of man this man was. Because he wanted to make sure that the world knew that he himself had nothing to do with this birth. This was a miraculous birth. The Son of God. What a couple! Huh? What a couple that God chose to bring the Savior of the world here. That's the story. That's the Christmas story. That's what it's all about. It was the birth that changed the course of history. That's what Christmas is all about. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, let's look at some verses here. Same verses we've had. But I want you to have some real wisdom about Christmas. So as to incline thine ear unto wisdom. And next Saturday night, we'll see the Christmas story in the Scripture. And apply thy heart to understanding, for God giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Because I want you to know exactly the other side of Christmas so that you can appreciate what Jesus is all about. You ready to take the journey? Say amen. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, be with us as we take this journey that we call the other side of Christmas. Father, may we understand how much you love us and you want us to really truly understand the meaning of Christmas. And I hope that everyone within the sound of my voice understands that. To those watching my video, to those in this audience. But may we have a realistic understanding. There is another side of Christmas that brings destruction to people's lives. Father, bless these moments in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
The other side of Christmas. Busy. 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 We got a lot to do, as I've said over the last 2 weeks. We have got to decorate. Get the outside of the house, the inside of the house. The Christmas tree, which was a nightmare for Monica and I this year. It almost spoiled my Christmas spirit. And nothing will spoil your Christmas spirit like a Christmas tree and lights that don't work. Huh? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you. We had this tree that had snow on it. Any of you got trees that got snow on it?
Yeah. You're smarter than we
are. Yeah. Oh, we bought this beautiful snow tree last year. Snow all over the limbs. But snow don't stay on them limbs. You go to carry that Christmas tree and you leave a trail. Another story, another time. But I'm telling you, this tree was a nightmare. Satan has a way. Listen to me closely. Satan has a way to take the most beautiful time of the year and literally make it the worst time of year if you're not careful. Money. I told you. Christmas costs money. I'm going to tell you a story about that here in a minute. Then, not only does it cost money, but then we have all the pressures of trying to pull together with family, with some people we don't even like. But we're forced to because it's Christmas time. So let's get all the cousins together. Let's get all the brothers and sisters together. Let's get all of them brats together. Let's all have a wonderful time around this meal for an hour that everybody in that room would rather be anywhere but there. Am I describing Christmas for some families? Absolutely. Don't even like these people. But yet, we're forced to sit here and eat with them. It's the other side of Christmas. Now, that's exactly what Satan wants you. He wants you to feel so horrible about Christmas that you dread it. You dread it. You can't wait till it's over. And yet, from a Christian standpoint of view, it's the best time of the year to celebrate the beginning of God's grace on this planet with the birth of Jesus Christ. This past week, Monica had to go to a doctor, I think it was Friday. And it was over in the St. Matthews area. So we decided when she got out of the doctor that we hadn't been to St. Matthews Mall this year. They were going to decorate that mall up real nice. And so we decided to go in there. Monica still had a couple of presents left to get. So JCPenney's was running a big sale, which means there was, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people in there. Monica says, go out there in the waiting area and just sit, relax, and I'll be out in a little bit, which is exactly what I wanted to do. So I go out in the waiting area, and guess who all is out there? Who do you think's out there sitting down in the chair and waiting? No? Who said it? Men. Not a woman in sight. There must have been 25 men sitting in a circle. And I joined this group. And I was the baby of the group. I mean, we're talking about, you know, these are grandfathers. And all sitting in a group. Looking depressed to me. Because somebody was inside the stores spending grandpa's what?
Money.
Now, they're all out there telling their war stories. And I'm not talking about World War II. I'm talking about grandma, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. I kept hearing this one phrase over and over and over and over again. Because these are old men. We are on a fixed income. You ever heard that before? Huh? Well, probably three-fourths of our church is on a fixed income. It means that, hey, there's no more money in December than there is in February, March, April, May. But it's Christmas. Now, oh, that's cute and funny. But I happen to be sitting next to this man, probably mid-70s. And again, all the men are talking. This guy was very quiet. I looked over to him. I said, Merry Christmas. He said, thanks. Merry Christmas. And I said, I guess you waiting on your wife like I am? He said, yeah. Didn't make any conversation. If I asked him a question, he just short answered. I said, well, I am too. And I said, boy, there's a lot of men out here, isn't there? He said, yeah. So I thought, well, obviously the man just doesn't want to, maybe don't feel good or whatever. So I sort of just didn't ask him any more questions. About 5 minutes later, again, all of them sitting around talking, this guy says, looks at me, and he says, you say you was waiting on your wife? I said, yes, sir. I said, she's inside. We've got a couple more presents to buy. I said, she told me to come out here and sit with you guys because, Lord, there's thousands of people in this store. I said, so your wife's in there too? He said, yeah. And you said, you know, we've got 5 daughters, 5 son-in-laws, 23 grandchildren. 6 great-grandchildren. Now, here was my obvious response to that. I said, oh, what a blessing from God. I thought that was a pretty nice thing for me to say. He said, oh, you think so? That's exactly what he said to me. He said, oh, you think so? Trying to make conversation, I said, well, yeah, I mean, that's a big family. He said, do you know what it cost at Christmas time to buy for this family? I said, no, I don't have a clue. I said, I've got 2 children and 1 granddaughter. I know what that cost. But I said, no, I couldn't imagine. He said, I got 1 daughter that married into a family that's got a lot of money. and he said they could really buy their grandchildren the world. He said, I retired from GE, my wife was a homemaker, never worked. He said, I draw my retirement from GE and draw Social Security. He said, my wife is determined to keep up. Maybe you've heard this kind of story before. Is determined to keep up with this one son-in-law's family because they got all the money on the road. And he said, she's in there spending, I'll tell you right now, she's in there spending money that we don't have. Just to keep up with this one family. Because they can go in and buy the store out that we need. Now, all of a sudden, this man opens up to me. I'm just sort of just sitting there. And I'm trying to think what I need to say to him. Because, I mean, literally, I mean, tears is almost coming down this man's face. And I just sit down beside him. Just happened to sit down beside him. Or maybe I just didn't happen to sit down beside him. Maybe it was by God's grace that it was supposed to be one to sit down there. And I said, well, sir, let me say this to you. I said, I don't know your situation or why you're in the situation you're in or why your wife's in there spending money. I don't have an answer for that. But I said, let me tell you what. Let me just talk to you for a moment, if you'll listen to me. I said, I can't control anything about your life or what's going on or how much money grandma's spending in there. But let me tell you what I will tell you. To me, Christmas is not about JCPenney's. It's not about St. Matthew's Mall. It's not about all these men in here in a circle all depressed because they're seeing all their money go out the window. But what Christmas is about is about Jesus. I said, Jesus came in this world with nothing. Nothing. But yet he came from everything. Born in a manger, which is just a fancy word of saying a draw for water for cows. Born by two very humble parents in a scene to where when you concentrate on that, and understand why that was done, because that was done for you and for me, and all 23 of your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I said, I don't have any words of wisdom to tell you, but I'm here to tell you that no matter what is in your life, or what you're doing, or the life of your family, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we concentrate more on that than the financial end of it, I promise you, you will know what Christmas is all about. And it's not about the money being spent from there. It's about what's in your heart. And tears just come down his face. He said, do you really believe all that? Now, I didn't tell him I was a minister. I didn't tell him I was a preacher. I didn't tell him all that. I said, absolutely, I believe that. He said, so you don't care what your wife spends in there? I said, I haven't told her about this. I said, let me tell you why I don't care. It's not because I got all the money in the world, because I don't. But my wife worked for 42 years. Worked 15, 60 hours a week for 42 years. To help me make a living. If she wants to go in there and spend every dime we got, I don't care. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, she's not going to do that. And I know she's not going to do that. But I said, we have to come to understand, maybe your wife didn't have work to bring in an income, but I promise you, if you've got five daughters, and 23 grandchildren and great-grandchildren, these people would not be alive today if it wasn't for that mother and grandmother and great-grandmother in that store. And maybe she spent it every dime that you got. I don't know. But let me tell you something. She's earned it as much as that pension you got from GE. Give her a warm hand of applause. He said, well, you definitely wasn't the person to cry on the shoulder with, was you? I said, well, no, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle what you're feeling. I understand it takes money to live in the world. And you're worried about finances. That's, you know, that's the part of Christmas that Satan loves to get us in. But I said, take a moment and really concentrate on the true meaning of Christmas. Take your mind off of what all's going on around you and really take a look to see that Christmas is all about Jesus. 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 Say it with me. Jesus. Jesus. This other side of Christmas, you have to understand, folks, do not allow that to control your happiness. Happiness is about celebrating something. And on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the Saturday before, the Saturday after, whenever you get together with your family, understand it's not about what's under the tree, it's what's in your heart. I believe that with all of my being. I really do. Because whatever I can able to put under the tree, maybe there's one little present, maybe there's 1,000. But the reason I'm able to put it under the tree is because of the grace of God. Because everything that I have belongs to Him. My accounts belong to Him. My vehicles belong to Him. My home belongs to Him. My billfold belongs to Him. Everything I got belongs to Him. And He's the one that's either going to touch it and bless it, or curse it. And it all depends on my attitude. It all depends about how I give to Him. Next year we're going to talk about how important Sunday is in our lives. As we get closer and closer to the end, folks, we need to understand just how important Sunday is to God's people. And how important Sunday is to you. God will pull you away as many times as He can. But you ultimately are in charge of your life. Next year, how important really is Sunday? And we're going to talk about Sunday school. Folks, we have two great adult teachers. I just happen to be one of them. Alice is the other one. We have a good time. I'm here to tell you, we have a good time. But my class is open to women. It's not just open to men. We're going to talk about Sunday school this next year. You need to come. We're not going to embarrass you. That's all I hear when I say something about Sunday school. Oh, I can't read, or somebody's going to ask me something about the Bible and I'm not going to know it. I've never embarrassed nobody in Sunday school. Well, Dale, I have a couple times. But really, Scott, have I ever embarrassed anybody in our Sunday school class? We don't do that kind of thing. All we do is get in there and study God's Word together. I need to know it. And donuts, yeah, you might even get a donut. Listen, this church will bribe you now. Don't make no difference. But to get back to understanding, folks, this next Saturday night, we're going to really have a great program. Our kids have worked hard. You're going to hear the Christmas story from me. We're going to have an opportunity to give Jesus the greatest gift of all. We're going to ask you to give back to Him as a part of your Christmas gift to Him next week. I understand you, folks. Our little church really is a lifeline to a lot of people. And folks, you and I both know it takes income and money to keep this little place going. And we need all the help we can get. real true meaning of Christmas. It's about love. That really is the true meaning of Christmas. How much God loves you. Do you understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
Stand with me. There he is, bow over the eyes. Father, what a blessing to be in your house. Father, we have heard your word. May we take it to heart and take it to wisdom. We know Satan tries to destroy people this time of year and get them away from the true meaning of Christmas. But Father, we're going to proclaim the true meaning of Christmas, and it is the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the virgin birth that saved this world. To all those who will listen, to all those who will respond, to all those who will believe. Father, bless in a special way those watching by internet today. Understand the true meaning of Christmas. And it is truly about Jesus. Oh yes, it's a holiday. That's what the world tells us. But it's Christmas. It's Christmas. Christ in Christmas. That's what this is all about. Father, if there be one here today who's truly, Father, will you convict their hearts to come and make it right today? Father, be with us. If anyone needs to come to this altar, we lift them up to you. Father, we're thankful for all that you do. Bless us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Let me know what's our invitation.